There follows five short talks, each of 6 to 8 minutes, on the Christian faith. Now, these talks were originally designed for missionary situations where English was not the first language. They should also be suitable for new converts and unbelievers who wish to know what the Bible teaches about the gospel. Well, welcome to these short talks on elementary Bible teaching. What is it a Christian believes? Well, this first talk is on the Bible. The Bible is God's message to the human race. You see, it's all very well to speak about God. I believe in God, we say. But where do we get accurate information about God? We can't just imagine what he'd be like and hope he's what I imagine. We have to get accurate information. Where can we get accurate information about God? Well, the only person we can get it from is God himself. And that is why God sent us a message from heaven. We Christians believe it is the Bible. The Bible, being God's word, is infallible. Now, the definition of infallible is the inability to err. At least that's our understanding of, that's what I mean by saying it's infallible. The inability to err. God cannot sin. God cannot sin. And he has given us accurate information about the human race, what went wrong, and how it can be put right, and why he sent his son to the horrific death of crucifixion on our behalf. But we're talking right now about the Bible. The Bible is not only God's revelation to us, infallible, but it's also authoritative. God has the right to tell us what to do. He has made us. God created everything for himself, to honour him. He made human beings in his own image, that there might be something on planet Earth that would reflect his honour, his glory. So he made mankind, human beings, in his image. He therefore has the right to tell us how to live. So the Bible isn't just accurate information. It has the right and the authority to tell us how we should live. God, you see, is the sole proprietor of everything because he created everything. He's the sole proprietor. So he has the right to tell us what to do. Now, how about interpretation of the Bible? You see, it's all very well to say, I believe the Bible. Adolf Hitler said he was a Christian and followed the Bible. We have to explain what we understand the Bible to teach, and that is the reason there are versions of the scriptures. But when it comes to interpreting what the Bible means by something, the Bible itself is its own interpreter. And the Bible is for all people during all of time, for all cultures. It isn't just for a certain culture. It isn't just for a certain period of history. It isn't just for the Jews, as some people might argue. It is for all people, all time, over all cultures. Now, we do have to confess that to understand the Bible properly, we need the Holy Spirit of God to teach us. We need, the Bible needs to be enlightened. We need to grasp exactly what it says. So that's why it's so important. Every time we open our Bibles, we should ask God to bless it to us. The Bible is God's only message to us, and it's God's final message to the human race. We do not need anything else. There are many other helps which God has arranged that we might understand his Bible properly. That's why he sent prophets and teachers to teach and to instruct how to understand the Bible. But since Jesus Christ came into the world, there is no need for any further revelations. There's to be no more gurus, no more prophets, no more revelations, no more voices from heaven, as it were. We have the written word of God given to us, and we have Christ having visited earth. And Christ is the word made flesh. Jesus is a walking human being illustrating the Bible. He is the word made in human form. You see, there is such a massive difference between God and human beings that we human beings need something in between for us to understand. And so Christ is the last prophet given to the human race. And he said, regarding the Bible, the scriptures cannot be broken. So we'll leave that as the first short lesson. The scripture cannot be broken. May God bless that small talk. Talk number two, God. Welcome to this, our second talk on Christianity, basic teaching on the Christian religion. This number two is on God, the Christian God. You see, Christianity is not really the worship of Jesus Christ. It's actually the worship of the triune God through Jesus Christ. You can only know God through Jesus, but it is the worship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, God is the first cause of everything. God has created everything. Everything there is has come from God. God is alone, is truly independent. We talk about people being independent and countries being independent. God alone is truly independent of everyone and everything. God is self-existent. Everything depends on God. God depends on nothing. God is an absolute being. He is the ultimate in everything. God is our creator. He created everything there is. God is our lawgiver. As we noted in number one, he has the right to instruct us how to live. He's our creator, our lawgiver, he's our judge. He's appointed a day at the end of the world where he will judge every moral creature. And I hope we can say that God is also our saviour. God so loved the world, he sent his Son to pay for their sins. And through him, all who turn to him and trust in him can be saved. Now, God is a person. He is not a force like electricity. He is a person. He is the ultimate person. He is infinite. And what we mean by infinite is he is without limit or boundary. If we say something is as great as this, then we're limited to that size. But to be infinite means there is no limit. There is no boundary. Very hard to take in. But he is, we're finite, so we're limited in everything. God has no limits, no boundary. God cannot increase. God cannot decrease. He is infinite, but he's also eternal. Time does not refer to God. The past, the present, and the future are all the present to God. Imagine history, future down the line, all the present with God. He's not just infinite without boundaries, he's eternal. Time doesn't refer to him. All of God's presence is everywhere, all of the time. Think of that. All of God's presence everywhere, all of the time. The Bible tells us one day is as 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years are as one day to God. That's something to think of. You might be saying, well, I can't take that in. That's fine. You don't need to understand it. You can't understand it because you're a finite creature. But listen, you must believe it. Any other God is a false God. He's infinite. He's eternal. He is unchangeable. There is nothing within God that will make him change. Nothing within God will change. And nothing outside of God, out with God, can change him. He is all-powerful, far more power than anything else. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable. But it's also important to note that God is, there are three persons in the Godhead. Again, extremely difficult to understand, but you must believe it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are that one God. And each of them are the whole of an equal essence of God. That's difficult to take in, but the Bible clearly states that. Now, there are three main points to remember to help us grasp it. There are many false teachers going around and they say, Jesus isn't God. He's the Son of God. But the Bible clearly makes out that the Son of God is equal with God. Now, the three main points to remember is there is one God only. Secondly, each of the persons are the whole of the essence. Each of the persons are whole of the essence. And thirdly, yet they are three distinct persons. Three distinct persons, not separate persons, but distinct. There is a difference between being distinct and being separate. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, each equal in power and glory, yet distinct. Now think about it logically and think about it simply geographically. There can only be one God. If all of his presence is everywhere all of the time, well, logically there can only be one God. And it's wonderful that that one God is living and that one God has communicated with us on earth. One other final thing about God. This God is able to love sinners without it affecting his holiness. God is holy and he cannot stand sin. but he can love sinners. We cannot get our head round that, but the Bible reveals that. That one living and true God can love sinners so much he sent his son to die so that any one of them who would trust in him would be forgiven and taken to heaven. May God bless to us these thoughts on the one living and true God.
Talk number three, creation and providence.
Welcome to our third talk on basic elementary Christian teaching. This number three is on creation and providence. God created the whole universe out of nothing, simply by speaking. Now, there's energy for you. God calling into existence matter, liquid, everything. Everything from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy has been created, brought into existence by God. Now, our Bible tells us that God created it in 6 days, which we believe is 24-hour days. And he created it for his own pleasure. Now, when he created everything, it was absolutely perfect. Everything was perfect when God made it. But tragically, sin corrupted it. Tragically. Now, it's important to realise that creation and the Bible do not actually contradict each other. The Bible is a revelation from God. Creation comes from God too. It's impossible for them to contradict each other. But what is possible is that we have wrong interpretations. There's nothing wrong with any archaeological finding. Nothing wrong with it. But the interpretation which we put upon these findings may be wrong. And there is a biblical interpretation on every archaeological finding. Remember that. Our interpretation of scripture may be wrong, and our interpretation of creation may be wrong. They do not contradict each other. They cannot, because they both come from God. Now, not only has God created everything, but God has controls and directs everything that happens in life. Usually through what we call second causes or means. But God does occasionally work and can work without means, above means, or even against means. He can do that. He seldom does it, but he does it. Every miracle, for example, is an example. But he normally works through second causes. And he never ordains anything without also ordaining the cause and the means through which they take place. Now, as I said, God ordains whatsoever comes to pass. Every detail. As Jesus said, not a sparrow falls to the ground without our Lord noticing. And everything, we must remember, will eventually work out for God's glory. Everything. Even sin. Now, grasp this. God uses sin, sinlessly. God is never the author of sin. He never sins. Now, we are finite creatures. God is an infinite being. He was never created. We finite creatures cannot grasp or understand the infinite. And here is something we cannot understand. But blessed be God, we don't need to understand. We just need to believe. Every word that God has written in the Bible is true, and he's revealed us that he's not the author of sin. And you must believe that he brings about, he allows, permits sin without causing it. Now, this can be proved simply by the definition of sin. What is sin? Sin is disobedience to God. How can God disobey himself? He can't possibly sin, because sin is disobedience to God. And think about it also. God forbids sin, and God punishes sin. Have you got that? So God cannot be the author of sin, but he uses it to his own glory wonderfully. Now, you might say, well, that's just the same as the pagan notion of fate. No, it is not. God ordaining whatsoever comes to pass is different from fate. Fate ignores the nature of things. Fate ignores the causes and effects of things. And really, fate is really just another word for chance. But God has decreed whatsoever comes to pass as a personal being with a purpose and with a plan, ordaining the means as well as the end. And he's doing it for his own glory. He has a plan, and that plan is bang on schedule. He's not running behind. It's wonderful to have the Christian God, and what peace it gives in times such as this, when we're going through the coronavirus pandemic. May God bless these thoughts.
Talk number 4, the fall of humans into sin.
Welcome to number 4 in our talks of basic Christian teaching. This number 4 is about the fall of the human race into sin. What went wrong when God created humans in his image? Well, after God created humans, he made an agreement with the man, which is called a covenant. And that covenant was made with Adam on behalf of the whole human race. In that covenant, there was a promise from God that if he, Adam, did not eat of one tree in the garden, he could eat as much as he liked, of as many trees as he liked, as often as he liked, except from one tree. And if he did not eat fruit from that one tree, he would obtain heaven, not only for himself, but for the whole human race. Now, most of us know the story, and I hope we all believe it to be true. Through the temptation of Satan, Adam ate the forbidden fruit. And as a result of his disobedience to God, the God's wrath and curse came upon the human race. And at the same time, a disjunction took place throughout the whole earth. The earth and humankind were cursed through Adam's disobedience to God. Now, this is made very clear in the New Testament. Sometimes the book of Genesis, especially chapter 3, is not taken as being true. But the Apostle Paul makes very, very clear in Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, Paul the Apostle states lucidly the truth of all this by quoting from Genesis chapter 3, no less than 5 times. And he quotes from it as a fact. And it is the basis of the human race needing another representative if it is ours to go to heaven and be with God. Now, the first man, Adam, failed not just himself and his wife and family, but he failed on behalf of the whole human race. I suppose it's what we might call the representative principle. And now the only answer, the only solution for the human race in relation to getting right with God again and getting into heaven is to have a second representative. And the only representative is Jesus Christ. And he paid God for the sins of everyone who will be in heaven. He paid God for them on the cross by suffering persecution. And he is God's second representative to the human race. Now, we're going to talk more about Christ in the next talk, but right now, let's get very clear in our minds. Christ's life, Christ's death, and especially Christ's resurrection secured heaven for everyone who will be there. And the only ones who will be there are those who repent of their sins and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to realise why Christ is the only suitable representative. Only Christ paid God for all the sins of all who will be in heaven through his death at the cross. By his death on the cross, secondly, Christ acquired what we might call transferable righteousness for believers, only for believers. The only hope the Christian has is that he possesses Christ's righteousness. Our righteousness is not good enough. We cannot keep God's law. We cannot reach God's standards, but Christ kept them on our behalf for us. Christ had righteousness in heaven, but that righteousness was non-transferable. And so he had to come to earth and walk upon earth to produce, as it were, a righteousness that could legitimately be applied to sinners like you and me who cannot keep God's law to the standard required. Now, Christ did that through his life. His death paid the negative value we owe God for our sins. His life paid for, put us, as it were, into the credit balance. Now, as well as that, Christ's death at Calvary's cross secured eternal life for every believer in Jesus. All who repent and turn to him have secured eternal life because Christ purchased it for them. But we must turn to Christ. I suppose we could add to it also the fact that by his death and by his resurrection, Christ purchased what we might call the release of the Holy Spirit to work amongst spiritually dead souls on earth. You see, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead, completely dead. Unless God himself gives us life to be interested in salvation in the first place, but also to create faith in the Bible and trust in Christ's death as a substitutionary atonement for our sins. All that was accomplished by Christ coming to earth, dying and rising from the dead again. So he is the only Saviour. And next time we'll concentrate on Jesus Christ as the mediator between God and men. May God bless his truth.
Talk number 5, Jesus Christ, the mediator.
Welcome to this 5th talk on the basic elementary teaching of the Christian faith. Now, this one is entitled Jesus Christ, the Mediator. You see, there is such a gulf between God in heaven and we human beings in earth. We need something to identify with, or at least someone to identify with. God is so different from us. Now, the Bible states categorically in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, at this point, we'd ask, now, what exactly is a mediator? The best definition I have heard is a mediator is a person who intervenes between two contesting parties for the purpose of making peace. It's very important, so I'll repeat it. A mediator is a person who intervenes between two contesting parties for the purpose of making peace. Now, that implies two things at least. The fact that there is a mediator implies there's controversy. And there is controversy between God and man. Actually, there's war. War between God and man. And we need to get it right. We will never get peace across the way until we first get peace vertically with God, our maker, our lawgiver, and our judge. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day, and rightly so. Rightly so. So the fact that there is a mediator implies, first of all, there's controversy. But secondly, it implies reconciliation is possible. That's very important. You see, justice would require that God would just say, well, leave them alone. The human race walked away from me. The human race said they wanted to go alone. The human race have kept me out of their lives. Just leave them alone. But then there is that truth which anyone who has any contact with the Bible knows, that wonderful text in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe upon him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the gospel which Jesus Christ, the mediator, preaches is reconciliation has been made. At the cross, when Jesus died on behalf of sinners, God was reconciled to man. And it doesn't simply mean reconciliation. It doesn't simply mean all the legal debt has been paid. It means that God and man are friends again. That's important. Isn't it wonderful? God, the one who was insulted, the one who was offended. God is the one who made the first move. And not only made the first move, but provided the mediator, provided the substitute. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No other person is qualified to be mediator. You see, only Jesus Christ is God and man. Now, do not think that Jesus is 50% God, 50% human. Jesus Christ is 100% divine, 100% God, and 100% human. You see, it's the divine being that was offended, and it's human beings who caused the offence. So the mediator has to be divine and has to be human. But secondly, the mediator has to put out the fire of God's anger. He's to put it out. When human beings are cast into hell for rejecting Christ the Saviour, the fire goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. Only Christ was able to put out the fire of God's wrath against human beings. Thirdly, Jesus is the only one that's 100% divine and 100% human. He's the only one that can put out the fire of God's wrath. Thirdly, only Jesus Christ can make God and human beings friends again. You see, by nature, human beings don't like God. By nature, we human beings keep God out of our lives. So, we need to be made friends. Christ, being the God-man, is able to make us friends with God again. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And as I indicated already, only Christ can bestow the Holy Spirit to change us. Because we need to be changed before we'll even become interested in God. And that should be tremendously encouraging for anyone who has interest in becoming friends with God again. God, the Holy Spirit, must be in work in you. And it's Christ who sends the Holy Spirit. So Christ's death at Calvary accomplished all these things. And you might rightly say, what's the proof? What's the evidence? And the evidence is Christ rose again from the dead. And I wonder, do you know, there is more circumstantial reason to believe in the resurrection of Christ than there is to believe that a person called Napoleon ever lived. More circumstantial reason to believe Christ rose from the dead than to believe anything else you believe. And so, Christians unashamedly declare Jesus Christ is the one mediator. He is our only chance of being forgiven and getting into heaven. Only chance? He is the last chance. He's the second chance, but there will be no third chance. Christ is our last chance to get into heaven. May God bless his truth to us.